Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavad Gita, chapter number 7, text number 3. This chapter is entitled Knowledge of the Absolute. Manushyanam
sahasreshu
koshchit
yatati
siddhaye yatatam api Siddhanam kashchit mam veti tatvatah manushyam sahasreshu kashchit yatati siddhaye yatatam api siddhanam kashchin mam veti tatvatah manushyanam sahasreshu kashchir yatati siddhaye yatatam api siddhanam kashchin mam veti tatvatah manushyanam sahasreshu kashchir yatati siddhaye yatatam api siddhanam kashchin mam veti tatvatah manushyanam of men sahasreshu, out of many thousands. Koshchit, someone. Yatati, endeavors. Siddhaye, for perfection. Yatatam, of those so endeavoring. Api, indeed. Siddhanam, of those who have achieved perfection. Kashchit, someone. Mam, me. Veti, does know. Tatvatah, in fact. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Tridandi Goswami Maharaj Prabhupada. Out of many thousands of men, one may endeavor perfection. And of those who have achieved perfection, hardly one knows me in truth. Purport. There are various grades of men, and out of many thousands, one may be sufficiently interested in transcendental realization to try to know what is the self, what is the body, and what is the absolute truth. Generally, mankind is simply engaged in the animal propensities, namely, eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. And hardly anyone is interested in transcendental knowledge. The first 6 chapters of the Gita are meant for those who are interested in transcendental knowledge, in understanding the self, the super self, and the process of realization by jnana yoga, dhyana yoga, and discrimination of the self from matter. However, Krishna can be known only by persons who are in Krishna consciousness. Other transcendentalists may achieve impersonal Brahman realization, for this is easier than understanding Krishna. Krishna is the Supreme Person, but at the same time, he is beyond the knowledge of Brahman and Paramatma. The yogis and the jnanis are confused in their attempts to understand Krishna. Although the greatest of the impersonalists, Sripad Shankaracharya, has admitted in his Gita commentary that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, his followers do not accept Krishna as such. For it is very difficult to know Krishna, even though one has transcendental realization of the impersonal Brahman. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the cause of all causes, the primeval Lord Govinda. Ishvaraha Paramaha Krishna Satchidananda Vigraha Anadir Adir Govinda Sarva Karana Karanam. It is very difficult for the non-devotees to know him. Although non-devotees declare that the path of bhakti, a devotional service, is very easy, they cannot practice it. If the path of bhakti is so easy as the non-devotee class of men proclaim, then why do they take up the difficult path? Actually, the path of bhakti is not easy. The so-called path of bhakti, practiced by unauthorized persons without knowledge of bhakti, may be easy. But when it is practiced factually according to the rules and regulations, these speculative scholars and philosophers fall away from the path. Srila Rupa Goswami writes in his Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 1-2-101, Shruti Smriti Puranadi Pancharatra Viding Vina Aikantaki Harer Bhaktir Utpata Yaiva Kalpate. Devotional service of the Lord that ignores the authorized Vedic literatures like the Upanishads, Puranas, and Narada Pancharatra is simply an unnecessary disturbance in society. It is not possible for the Brahman-realized impersonalist or the Paramatma-realized yogi to understand Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, as the son of Mother Yasoda or the charioteer of Arjuna. Even the great demigods are sometimes confused about Krishna. Muhyanti Yatsuryaha Mangtu Veda Nakashchana. No one knows me as I am, the Lord says. And if one does know him, then Sa Mahatma Sadurlava. Such a great soul is very rare. Therefore, unless one practices devotional service to the Lord, one cannot know Krishna as he is, Tatvataha, even though one is a great scholar or philosopher. Only the pure devotees can know something of the inconceivable transcendental qualities in Krishna, in the cause of all causes, in his omnipotence and opulence, and in his wealth, fame, strength, beauty, knowledge, and renunciation. Because Krishna is benevolently inclined to his devotees. He is the last word in Brahman realization, and the devotees alone can realize him as he is. Therefore it is said, Otokshi Krishna Namadi Nabhaved Grayam Indriyai Sevon Mukhehi Jivadho Svayam Evas Padajada. No one can understand Krishna as he is by the blunt material senses. But he reveals himself to the devotees, being pleased with them for their transcendental loving service unto him. Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 1-2-234. Om Agyanati Madandrasha Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shibarave Nama Shri Chaitanya Manovishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam. How carefully we should guard our devotional kripa. We should never take Krishna consciousness for granted. It's extremely, extremely rare to actually come to the point where one can engage in devotional service. Out of millions of lifetimes, it's extremely rare. We've many times heard the example. There is one turtle swimming around in the Pacific Ocean. He goes swimming underwater most of the time. But sometimes, say once a year, he just sticks his head up for a second. And somewhere in that Pacific Ocean, somebody threw a board in the Pacific Ocean that has a knot hole in it. So, it just so happened that that board floating across the Pacific Ocean happened to float in the vicinity where that turtle was swimming. And he happened to just stick his head up for a second, check out what's going on the surface, and it went right through the knot hole in the board. What are the odds of that happening? In the vast Pacific Ocean, with that turtle swimming and that board floating, and his head coming right through the knot hole just at the right second as the board is floating past him. That's a pretty rare occurrence. So that's an example of how rare it is to achieve devotional service. Brahmanda brahmite kona bhagavanji guru krishna pishtade pai bhakti lata bij. After wandering through millions and millions of lifetimes all over the Brahmanda, the upper planets, the lower planets, the middle planets, Brahmaloka, Patalaloka, and every single point in between, through 8,400,000 varieties of species as given in the Vishnu Purana, beginning with Jala Jala Navalakshani, 900,000 types of aquatics. After wandering like this, if one is very, very fortunate, by the combined mercy of Guru and Krishna, one gets the seed of bhakti planted in the heart. That is called Kona Bhagyavan Ji. Bhagyavan means fortunate. Bhagyavan. So one very fortunate jiva soul who somehow is blessed with the mercy of Guru and Krishna, he gets the seed bhakti lata bij, the seed of bhakti planted in his heart. So if we find those of us sitting in this room tonight, somehow we've gotten this connection with Krishna, with Srila Prabhupada, and our good fortune is inconceivable. How much we have been blessed, we really can't conceive of it. The reality is we take it for granted. We won't really appreciate how fortunate we are. So what we have to do, if we're really going to fully capitalize on this greatest opportunity that we've received in millions and millions of lifetimes, we really have to deepen our understanding and appreciation for the mercy that we've received. And if we really do that, we won't waste a single moment diverting our mind away from Krishna. You see. And we've been discussing, it's hard to climb and it's very easy to fall. It's very difficult to overcome the influence of the material nature. And it's very easy to slide back into it. So whatever spiritual progress we've made by the mercy of Guru, by the mercy of Krishna, by the mercy of the Vaishnavas, we should guard that spiritual progress that we have made and not allow ourselves to slip down. And what is the slipping down process? Those are the 10 offenses. Especially Vaishnava Aparad, Hatti Matta, to become offensive towards the devotees. We may not always agree with the Vaishnavas, so we may have disagreement. But we have to always respect and love the Vaishnavas. We have to always respect and love the Vaishnavas, even if we sometimes may disagree with them. We have to protect ourselves from thinking ill towards the devotees. Ill will towards Vaishnavas is the most dangerous trap or obstacle in the pathway of Krishna consciousness. To have ill will towards Vaishnavas. You see? We are meant to have goodwill towards all living entities, even a little ant crawling. Somebody just wrote me, they said, what should I think if I'm, you know, if a mosquito, is it wrong if I slap a mosquito and it attacks me? I looked it up on the Veda base, and Prabhupada is saying, don't kill mosquito. A Vaishnava doesn't want to harm even a mosquito or an ant. So a devotee is very, he manifests goodwill towards all living creatures, even a little mosquito. What to speak of a human being? What to speak of a Vaishnava, someone who's chanting the Hare Krishna mantra? So we want to maintain very goodwill towards the devotees, and then of course, the other 10 offenses are there. To consider that chanting Krishna's name is just chanting another one of the many gods' names. We really have to remember that Krishna is the Supreme Lord. He is the origin, as he reveals himself in the Bhagavad Gita, Aham Sarvasya Prabhava Matak Sarvam Pravartate. I am the source of all material and spiritual worlds, everything emanates from me. We should never think that Krishna is just one of many, many different gods and they ultimately are all coming out of a Brahman. No. Krishna says, Brahmano Pratishtaham. He says, I am the source of that impersonal Brahman. So we really have to remember who is Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And understand this opportunity to understand Him, to serve Him, to develop our love for Him, has no equal anywhere within the universe or beyond this particular universe, anywhere throughout the vast totality of existence. There is nothing that equals this opportunity to engage in devotional service. Rupa Goswami is the original father of time management. Nowadays in the corporate world, time management is a real buzzword, as they say. It's a very popular thing. There's so many time management seminars and time management gurus who charge hefty prices to come into corporations and teach all the employees how to manage their time so they don't waste a single moment. So the corporation can squeeze more productivity out of fewer workers. You see? But that time management is nothing new. Time management was given to us by Rupa Goswami, Prabhupada. We are all known as Rupanugas because we are followers in the footsteps of Srila Rupa Goswami. He is also referred to by Prabhupada as Prabhupada, Rupa Goswami Prabhupada. So we are all the Rupanugas, followers in the footsteps of Srila Rupa Goswami. And that means that we cannot, if we're actually going to live up to the name that Prabhupada has given us, the title he has given us is Rupanugas, then we cannot waste a moment. We have to see that every single moment of my 24 hours a day is being spent in Krishna consciousness. It's actually an ecstatic thing if we get serious about it. Prabhupada wrote a letter to Ridhananda Maharaj and he said that if you will simply follow this principle, as much as possible, read, chant, and preach. Those three things. Read, chant, and preach. He said, if you will follow these three points, as much as possible, read, chant, and preach, then very soon this Krishna consciousness movement will become the only religion in the world. This means all these pseudo-religions going on, you know, that have some authenticity to some extent, but they're so filled up with bogus nonsense things like cow killing and, you know, homosex, you know, whether it be Christianity or Mohammedanism or Judaism or this ism or that ism, you see. Krishna consciousness will actually become established as the true world religion, the true one ekadharma for all living beings. Now we don't deny the other traditions. I mean, I have a former Catholic nun who's becoming wants to be my disciple. I actually haven't. Until he passed away, I had a disciple who was a former Catholic priest. So there's not that someone has to give up Lord Jesus, you know, to become a member of the Krishna consciousness movement. No, by chanting Hare Krishna, you become a perfect Christian. You see. You were trying to follow Jesus before, but you were breaking the commandment. The Christians have 10 commandments, and they're all breaking them. They're all breaking the 10 commandments. Even the so-called leaders, the ministers, the Pope himself is breaking the 10 commandments. It's supposed to be the living embodiment of Lord Jesus, but he himself is breaking the 10 commandments. You see? But in this Krishna consciousness movement, automatically, you are following the 10 commandments that Christians are supposed to follow, that are not able to. So by becoming Krishna conscious, you become the best Christian, the best Jew, the best Muslim. You become the best of every single religious tradition. Because this is, as Krishna confirmed, Raja Vidya Raja Guyam Pavitram Idamuttamam Prachakshavagamam Dharmyam Shushukam Kartamabhyam. This knowledge is the king of education, most secret of all secrets, the purest knowledge, because it gives direct perception of the self. It's the perfection of religion. It's joyfully performed, you see. It's everlasting and it's joyfully performed. This is the perfection of religion, perfection of knowledge. If you want purity, if you want perfection, if you want to be free of all the inebrieties of material existence, this is where you need to be in this Krishna consciousness movement. Because this process that Prabhupada is giving us will cleanse all the dirt out of the heart. It is the pure, it is the full, most powerful manifestation of Lord Chaitanya's movement. Prabhupada is the one acharya who was chosen to, by Lord Chaitanya, the one who was especially qualified to spread, to do what no other Vaishnava acharya ever did, which was to spread Krishna consciousness all over the world to audiences where nobody had any inclination. Prabhupada did not think he would be successful. When I was with Srila Prabhupada in Atlanta, he told us this point. He said, when Guru Maharaj, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, sent my godbrothers to England, my godbrother, he was speaking with Lord Zetland. And Lord Zetland, he had been the governor of Bengal during the British rule period. He had spent some time as the governor of Bengal. So he was aware of something of, you know, Vedic culture, Varnashram culture, Brahmins. He knew that the Brahmins were considered the high class people in India. So he was a lord in England. He thought, well, why not be a Brahmin and a lord at the same time? I can have double status, you see. So he said, Swamiji, can you make me a Brahmin? And so Prabhupada's godbrother said, if you will follow these principles, yes, I can make you a Brahmin. If you can follow these principles, no illicit sex, no intoxication, no meat eating, and no gambling. So Lord Zetland replied, impossible. Impossible. Immediately he replied, impossible. So, Prabhupada, he told us, when I came to your country, I was thinking, as soon as I tell them no illicit sex, no meat eating, no intoxication, no gambling, they immediately say, please go home. Go back to India. The Prabhupada said, but I thought, let me try. And you know something? Because Prabhupada tried, we were saved. All of us have been saved. If Prabhupada had not made that endeavor, we would have been doomed to the animal species. You understand? How significant it was that Prabhupada made that endeavor. So Prabhupada was especially empowered. He had, even though he was not proud at all, he was totally humble. He just thought, he said he didn't think he would be successful. He simply thought, well, this is the order I've received, and I have to just do this, and try to do this, and if I die trying to do it, well, that's my perfection. He had that kind of determination. He didn't think he would be successful, but still he was willing to give his whole life to even fail at carrying out the order of his Guru Maharaj. Actually, Prabhupada points out in his Bhagavatam purport, it's a very nice statement. He says that a Krishna conscious person. Now I'd like to ask you all, are we supposed to be Krishna conscious? Are we supposed to be Krishna conscious people? Isn't that what we're supposed to be? Yes, of course. This is the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. That means that you're supposed to be a Krishna conscious person. Each one of us is supposed to be a Krishna conscious. Now Prabhupada in this purport, he defines what a Krishna conscious person is supposed to be like. So listen to this, get ready for this. He says, a Krishna conscious being is always thinking how to deliver all of suffering humanity back to home, back to Godhead. Someone who's actually Krishna conscious, they're always meditating, how can I deliver all the conditioned souls of this world back to the spiritual world?
Without being proud.
Huh?
Without being proud.
Without being proud, that's right. Just like Prabhupada wasn't proud. He was thinking he couldn't do it, but he had to die trying. That's right, without being proud. So, he says a Krishna conscious being is always thinking of how to deliver all of suffering humanity back to Godhead. Even though, and then Prabhupada explains that, what does he say next? He says that,
even if he
is not successful, yes, that's right. Even if he is not successful in doing that, you know, he's just complete failure, right? Even if he is not successful in accomplishing that, his perfection is guaranteed because he's constantly meditating that way. You see, that meditation is his perfection. Even he can't even make one person a devotee. You see? Mm-hmm. He says, even if he is not successful, his perfection is guaranteed, and anyone who follows him will also become perfect. So it's a very interesting statement. And that's the definition of someone who's Krishna conscious. So it just shows us how far off the mark we are. Because what are we thinking about? Money, you know, how am I going to get some money to pay my bills? We're thinking about our sense gratification. You see? How can I get this for my sense gratification? How can I get that for my sense gratification? We're so far from we're so far away from really what we're supposed to be. And it's interesting in that song, Kabe Habe Bala Sedi Namar by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. That's how he ends the song. He says, I know it in English, I don't know it in Bengali. He says, if I can remember it, he says that, in essence, he's saying, when will I forget about my own, or making my own personal arrangements? And simply set out to preach the divine command. The command divine. When will that day be mine? He says, let's see, when will that day come when I will forget myself comforting and set out to preach the command divine? When will that day be mine? That's how it reads in the songbook and the Achyutananda's nice poetic translation, the Bengali. So, the Vaishnava feels, I'm not there yet. Right now I'm still on the platform of sense enjoyment. I'm thinking about myself. I'm not really thinking about, you know, delivering the suffering souls of this world. I should be. But honestly, the Vaishnava admits, right now I'm caught up in, you know, worrying about my body, worrying about my, you know, my apartment, my house, my, you know, my room, my facilities. You know, I'm thinking about my own personal comforts instead of thinking about the pain and the anguish that the general society is going through. You see, if I was really, really, you know, concerned about the suffering of the world, I'd be out preaching every day to everyone I could meet. I'd be preaching up a storm, giving Prabhupada's books, trying to convince people, going door to door, you see, in this way. The Vaishnava understands that even though I'm supposed to be in this mood of compassion, I'm not. Of course, Bhaktivinoda is not really like that, but he's showing our position as neophytes. You see, neophyte devotees so worried about his own personal comforts, his own personal sense of joy. So we need to come off of the neophyte platform and really come to the point where we can feel, honestly, we have to admit, You know, right now I'm more concerned with my own sense gratification than I am with saving the fallen soul. But we have to pray to the Acharyas, we have to pray to Srila Prabhupada, we have to pray to our spiritual master that we can develop this mood of preaching to save the suffering conditioned souls of this world from going down into the animal kingdom in their next life. In the US, Prabhupada told us, he said, if you feel for your countrymen, he told us, they are dying. They're dying. He said it with great compassion and great urgency in his heart, the way Prabhupada said it, they are dying. He said, if you feel compassion for your countrymen, you spread this Krishna consciousness movement, they are dying. You see? Just like if there's an epidemic going on, then the doctors come and they inoculate people like anything. They're going to give the serum to save people's lives. So we have the serum. Everyone is dying from the poison of sense gratification. The whole world has been poisoned by sense gratification. And everywhere throughout the world, millions and billions of people are dying from the epidemic of sense gratification. We have the serum which will cure the epidemic. So what are we doing about it? Are we just eating and sleeping? Are we thinking about doing something to save the suffering souls? Are we practically doing something or not? Are we eager to preach? Or are we eager just to sit in our temple? You see? This is Bhakti Siddhanta's criticism of his God, of his disciples, I mean to say. After they got that temple in Bagh Bazar in Calcutta, they got a nice marble temple donated. And they were just arguing, who will occupy what room? That's all. Prabhupada said, it's better to sell the marble and print books. So if we've gotten some nice facility, then we must utilize that for preaching, not for sense gratification. We must utilize it for preaching, for pushing forward this movement. Otherwise, Krishna will take it away. He's take it away from us. It has to be utilized for preaching. And then, what will happen? Krishna will give us more facility. And we use that for preaching, he'll give us more and more and more and more and more. And Prabhupada actually told us it will come that day when the government leaders of this world will come to ISKCON to find out how to run their countries. Is it? That day will come. They will actually come to us, you see. How to run this country, Germany. They will ask the GBC and the sannyasis here, please come to the capital and give us, please guide us. How would Prabhupada want us to run this country now? We understand we've been doing it all wrong and that Prabhupada knows how it should be run. You please instruct us now how we should run this country of Germany in a way that Prabhupada will be very pleased with us. You see? That day will come when all the leaders of the world want to know what would Prabhupada have us do now to run this country properly, you see. So it is our duty as Prabhupada's followers to work very, very hard, day in and day out, to make that day come as soon as possible. When the world leaders will request, kindly guide me how to run this country according to Prabhupada's instructions. You see, that will be the day, as predicted by Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, that day of success when the High Court judges wear tilak. That's what he said. When the High Court judges wear tilak, then we are successful. You may say, but Sankarshan Prabhu, this sounds very utopian. I mean, what are you, some kind of a foolish dreamer? Well, I'm quoting Prabhupada. So don't accuse me of being a foolish dreamer. Okay? I'm just repeating what Prabhupada said. I have it right there on my screensaver, an exact quote from Prabhupada. He says, if we do everything very carefully, there's no reason why we can't save the world. Right there, right up a letter that Prabhupada wrote to Bali Mardan Prabhu. If we do everything very carefully, there is no reason why we cannot save the world. So we just have to, right now our problem is we're too careless. We're not thoughtful enough about what we do. We do things carelessly and foolishly. Really do. You see? Look at all the problems that happened in ISKCON because we weren't careful. We're like, you know, running around like a bull in a china shop, you know. Too passionate. Not careful enough about what we're doing. It's good to be enthusiastic, but we have to be careful at the same time. Be very careful to do everything the way Prabhupada wants us to do. Very careful. And then there's no reason why we can't save the world. No reason at all. Absolutely no reason why we can't save the world. I don't care how many mistakes we've made in ISKCON. Prabhupada's potency is still there. And we can in fact save the world by his potency. If we simply do follow his instructions very, very carefully. In all times, all places, and all circumstances. So I can ask now if there's any questions. Yes.
I want to ask, what is more important? To have a quantity to save the world, and this is to make many devotees, or to have a quality of devotees? Because we are seeing in our ISKCON, much as I can see from my life, one is turning in temple room and one is seeing a few old devotees, and all others which one knows, they are gone. So what is more important? To put strength to the devotee, not strength, to put, how many new devotees, or to take care of devotees who are already there?
Prabhupada said the most important thing is to maintain nicely the devotees we already have. Whatever devotees we have now, we have to see that our present members are very nicely fixed in Krishna consciousness. We have to see that there's very wonderful loving relationships amongst the devotees, that there's deep feelings of love and trust going in all, through all levels of our movement. You know, the rank and file, the temple leadership, GBCs, sannyasis, gurus, that throughout the whole society it's one big, happy, loving family. That's really the first thing we have to do. Because we have a big membership now all over the world. So the most important thing we have to do in order to lay the foundation for spreading this movement successfully is to make sure that all of our present devotees are very happy in Krishna consciousness. That's what we really have to do right now. Prabhupada, actually one astrologer saw Prabhupada's face in the photograph, and he said, this person has built a house in which the whole world can live peacefully. So how much do we live peacefully in this house right now? There's so many problems amongst us, isn't there? So many problems going on between us and our family. So we have our first and foremost focus right now should be how can we have very peaceful, loving, trusting relationships between each other. You know, get rid of all this impersonalism, get rid of this fault finding, get rid of breaking the principles, you know, all these things that are going on amongst devotees nowadays. We have to clean our own house. If we do that, there's a saying in English, if you build a better mousetrap, the whole world will be the pathway to your door. So actually, if we can just make this movement a perfect place where everyone is peaceful and happy, our numbers will swell like anything. This movement will grow of its own momentum if we can make our members completely happy and satisfied, that everyone's strictly following Prabhupada's instructions, and everyone's, you know, that we're not fighting amongst ourselves, we're not fault-finding, we have very strong, loving, trusting relationships. So if we do that, then the growth that we would like to see for the sake of the fallen souls, that will happen naturally. The whole world will be attractive. I mean, a graphic example is divorces. What's the percentage divorce rate in ISKCON? There shouldn't be one divorce in this movement. Every marriage in this movement should be very peaceful and very happy marriage. And, you know, if we can do that, then even that one thing. If we can just make sure that all of our grihasthas have peaceful and happy marriages, that alone will attract so many people to this movement who don't know how to live peacefully and happily as husband and wife. You see? But we haven't learned to do that. I mean, I've heard statistics that we have a worse divorce rate than the Karmi society. I mean, my God, how far off the mark are we? As I mentioned, I think I mentioned here that, you know, my parents, I think I told it here, my parents never even raised a voice at each other. I never heard an argument or an angry word between my parents in my entire life. Well, to speak of any thought of divorce, not even a fight. And they were meat-eating Christians. So how much better should our marriages be? You see? Are we living, you know, a pure life with prasadam and deity worship and the holy names? You see, we should be the living embodiment of sainthood. Each and every one of us should be the living embodiment of sainthood. But we're acting like a bunch of ruffians off the street. Isn't it? It's so much so in our society. Sometimes I feel like gangsters. We've seen some of the wild things that have happened in our society. And child abusers, gangsters. Unbelievable. Something out of a horror movie or something. So we really have to, you know, get serious about. And you may say, okay, yeah, the GBC have to do it. Okay, the temple committee. No, you have to do it. It's real simple. You have to become pure in all your relationships. With your spouse, you have to have a very loving, trusting, serving your spouse relationship. Not that my spouse is a servant. No, you have to serve your spouse. Everyone should be in the mood of giving service. You see? With your spouse, you have a good relationship. With your brahmachari roommate or your brahmacharini roommates, you know, co-workers. All the relationships we have with each other, our spiritual master, we have to be very surrendered and respectful to our spiritual master. In this way, in all our relationships, we have to have very loving, trusting relationships. And if we do this, our numbers will swell like anything. This place, every room will be packed here. The temple room, I was a little disappointed when I came here. I thought there was going to be a place where there would be like 80 people at Mangalarti. You know, I heard, oh, this is, you know, Swami Satchinandana's headquarters. I thought, oh, this is going to be a vibrant place. You know, temple room packed and, you know, big. I came here, it's like, you know, it's nice that you all are here. You're the strong, those of you who are here, you're the strength. Maybe there isn't anybody else here, I don't know. I know there's people around who aren't coming. But the point is that by those of us who are here, who are trying, even if there's just two or three of us here who are, you know, attending the program, we should just dive into it and be a good example, and then gradually other people will come too. Just you yourself be an ideal Vaishnava in all ways, and that will inspire others to become better, and that will inspire others to become better. That verse is right there in the Bhagavad Gita. Yad yad acharati shreshas tattare ve tarojana suyad pramanam kurute lokastadana vartate. You see? Any of the devotees who become ideal example, they will have a powerful impact on the other devotees. You see, it doesn't matter who it is. It could be a sannyasi, a woman, a brahmachari. It doesn't matter what your position is in the society. You can become a powerful acharya just by being a very good example. You'll have an impact on everyone. You'll have an impact on everyone if you become ideal in your behavior, ideal in your speech, ideal in your attitude in all times, places, and circumstances. So all we're asking you to do is become a pure devotee. I mean, that's all we really want you to do. And if you do that, then that will inspire everyone around you to become pure, and that will attract more and more people to come. Because nowadays people will pay a premium price for purity.
For what?
In the old days, I'm explaining how. In the old days, we all drank tap water, but no one ever dreamed about paying money for pure water, you see. But now people pay big money to get pure water flown in from, you know, from the Fiji Island. People will pay money for purity nowadays because they know that water is polluted now. That you can, now there are people, you can buy bottled air, bottled oxygen. If you're tired of breathing polluted air, you can buy some bottled air and breathe it. We didn't even conceive of buying bottled air, but now it's becoming a new thing. Now bottled water is standard, now bottled air is the next one. So the next thing after that is pure consciousness. We have a monopoly on pure consciousness. You see? People will actually, the more the world, the old atmosphere becomes polluted, people will desire, yes, how can I have pure consciousness? I'm tired of being, you know, overwhelmed by material desires. People will want to know, please guide me how I can purify my consciousness. That will become very much in demand, and we are poised to teach them how to achieve that. So we have to ourselves be qualified to do that by developing pure consciousness ourselves, by strictly following these instructions of Srila Prabhupada. So any other questions? Yes.
This temple here, we have some problems. The problem is money. This temple is always in debts, and most of the devotees are thinking about how we can survive the next month. So can you please give us a spiritual advice?
Every possible man, woman, and child should be out making money to pay off the debt as soon as possible. By any and all means, book distribution, working jobs, bake sales, selling paintings, every possible means of making money. Everyone should be on a marathon to get this debt off your head as soon as possible. That's the best thing. You should become very much geared up for paying off the debt as soon as possible. So you can be peaceful, not worried about it anymore. This is Bhakti Vinod Thakur's. He says three things should be gotten rid of immediately: debt, fire, and disease. So if there's a debt, you shouldn't keep trying to postpone. You should try to pay it off immediately. Every available man, woman, and child should be out collecting money somehow or other. Preaching to the members to donate, whatever it means, selling paintings, you know, collecting bottles, I don't know, anything and everything. Anything you can do, everything you can do. You should be on an all-out marathon. There's a famous Leela of Tamal Krishna Maharaj. Argita Nagari farm is in great financial difficulty. You know, it's out in the country, real mellow, you know, cows, and you know, real serene. So when Tamal Krishna showed up, everybody's walking around with big grins on their faces. Ah, peace, peace, peace. But they were going down the tubes, going bankrupt. So one of the disciples of Tamal Krishna came with him, and he told the story. He said after Tamal Krishna gave a class, he said nobody was smiling anymore. They were all like in total anxiety. But they paid off the debt. They weren't walking around blissful, this artificial cloud of superficial happiness anymore. They were all like an anxiety. Oh, I have to go out and sell paintings. I have to do this. It's going to be intense, long hours driving, and going out in the van for long distances and austerity. Nobody was smiling, but they paid off the debt. So that should be an all-out campaign to pay off the debt as quickly as possible. And then you can really smile big. You can have an ear-to-ear grin. Wow, we paid it off. Now we can think about preaching instead of just paying off the creditors. You see? The best thing is to mobilize every available man, woman, and child, and congregation member, everyone. Every possible person you can mobilize to pay off this debt. should be mobilized. Any and all meaning. Yeah.
You also have a program. For example, when you just mentioned paintings, when the German marks were there, it was easy to sell, but because of the euro, people don't buy luxury items, or it's not so necessary.
Well, it has to be a proper strategy.
Yes.
So I'm not. I don't want to turn this into a strategy session because I'm just visiting here and I don't know anything about the German, how to make money in Germany. But it's up to you all to have a meeting. This is not the forum for that. But it's up to you all, the leaders here, to figure out the best way in 2006 in Germany to make money. If you have of course, it's always good to start off on the platform lazy intelligence. Like if you have a large list of donors, I know what I know. One thing that was done in the U.S. is you organize a special dinner, where a fundraising dinner that was done very successfully in the U.S. In fact, they're getting ready to do one now, an annual one in New Vrindavan, where it's $1,500 a ticket to attend the dinner, to attend the festival. You pay $1,500 to attend the festival, to get enlivened with all these special lecturers coming in from all over the world, and bhajan singers, all ISKCON, like Lokanath Maharaj and Ambarish, and so many big names will be there. It's a special program, a special prasadam, a special VIP treatment. That's what they're doing in the U.S. It's a $1,500 per head to attend it. They're making a big gala event.
What kind of people they invite?
Are ISKCON members who are, ISKCON, who's coming in to do the...
Yeah, who will come and pay the $1,500.
Who's paying it?
Yeah.
Well, this will be people who are like working, professional people and business, people who are working jobs in the U.S. who are members of the congregation members of the... Yeah, they inspire the congregation members to give big. That's what they're doing in... That's the strategy right now in North America. Get the congregation members to give some very wonderful program and inspire them to give big money. The congregation members. There's a thing we do in North America which is very successful, the Kalash program. It's a little... Do you do this here? You do the Kalashes here? Yeah, so you're already doing it. You charge $500 minimum for each one? Are you charging at least $500 for each kalash? Huh?
Hello?
He was up there.
Oh. Are they charging $500 for the kalash?
It was started from a certain amount.
The equivalent of, in euros, of 500 US dollars?
I think...
Not so much.
Lower?
In
America, we sell them for $500 and $1,000 for a kalash. And it's a very successful program. Sometimes they sell hundreds of them. I mean, they make huge. So...
In America.